Hey, we want to tell you about a ministry that's really close to our hearts. Global Christian Relief. Around the world, our brothers and sisters are risking everything for Jesus, and often they're unseen and unheard. GCR exists to remind us that we're one church, one family, and that no believer should stand alone. They come alongside persecuted Christians with prayer, Bibles, and this is the thing, real help. Food, shelter, trauma care, so the church can endure and shine as a light for the gospel. When you give, you're not supporting a cause, you're standing with family. There's a difference between rest and replenishment. And I'm wondering if you've been seeking rest and you just keep growing in weariness, this episode of Between Sundays is for you. Hey, welcome back to this episode of Between Sundays with the Chandlers. So as we get started, I think it's important to note, if you're watching this, that Lauren has like an epic crick in her
neck.
Did the massage thing, did the Aleve thing, did the heat thing, she's not trying to mock Batman right
now.
Early season Batman.
Good thing this is a swivel chair. That's right. That's all I'm
jacked up. Hey, why don't we start, like you don't, and I'm quoting you, so people are going to think I'm rude, and I'm like quoting you. You don't win a lot.
I don't.
Now, you won my heart.
Yeah.
But like you just haven't, I like that you tried to look at the.
Anyway.
But you actually won something pretty epic last year.
So I'm not really, I don't play the lottery, but like stuff like that where you put your little ticket in, you win things.
Yeah.
Well, I usually don't win those, but the one time I did win something, it was like the best. If anyone's familiar with Handel's ice cream, it is.
It's amazing.
I mean, I love Bluebell. Bluebell's great, but Handel's is like next level.
Yeah.
I think because they do all that right there.
Yeah.
Anyway, love Handel's. I won a year's worth of ice cream at Handel's, which really meant I got like one ice cream per week for 52 weeks.
Yep.
Which was more than I needed.
How many, but let's, if we real talked this.
I don't think, I might have gotten 20.
I was going to say, how many of those? Now, right after you won that thing, we were driving.
We were there consistently.
Once a week. And then it just kind of faded.
Yeah, I thought, ice cream, Handel's ice cream once a week, probably.
Oh, come on.
A middle-aged woman.
Oh, come on.
Anyway, there are a lot of sugar, a lot of dairy.
Yeah.
Right. That's good, but,
I get it.
I just wanted to be more health conscious, and so.
If we would have talked about this and we didn't, I would have advised there's always next year. To be healthy.
Yeah, that's true.
Just get that free ice cream and then get healthy.
But it was great. And, I could have used it to try all their different flavors, but I only chose banana cream pie.
That's your go-to.
It is the best.
It is, yeah.
And I don't want to hear from you people that hate bananas.
It is a bully fruit.
I know it is. And people are really mean about it. I'll tell you what's a bully, the people
mean
that don't like
you?
Bananas. Huh?
They're mean to you or just
mean
in general
about it? They're like, I don't see how people like bananas. Yeah. And I'm like, banana cream pie. It's good.
Yeah. Ice cream.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
And pie.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Here, let's talk about the replenishment cycle. And so I'll set us up like this. Years ago, I was asked by Jack, Jedi Jack. It works. How do you replenish? And so I answered him. I like to read. I like to, I just listed out some things. And he said, no, you're describing rest. I'm not asking about rest. I'm asking about replenishment. Mm. And I'll be honest, I had no idea that there was a distinction between those two. I mean, I know if you asked me to write it out, that those would have different definitions, but I had not, really thought what I need to build into my life is replenishment. Mm. I was thinking through the lens of rest. Does that resonate with you, Elsie?
Yeah, it does. I think rest is kind of like where you're not doing anything, kind of. But replenishment is, so like rest would be like a cup and you're not touching the cup. It's just sitting there. But replenishment would be filling the cup back up.
Boom. Look at you. Come on with your busted neck. No. Do you want to kind of put that hot glass on
so
it?
I do so badly.
Don't do it. It's be so weird on the podcast. But maybe that'll make you more vulnerable, baby, more authentic to go ahead and take your favorite cup. That's what that is, mm-hmm, your favorite cup.
Favorite cup.
And put that on your neck.
Yeah. Speaking of cups, replenishment.
Replenishment cup, great illustration. So what if we helped people watching this one kind of find their own replenishment? Would you be willing to play?
Let's play.
I mean, we didn't talk about this
we
episode
didn't. This
at
is
all.
Yeah.
So we're just going to do
impromptu.
It. So why don't we do, and you'll be the person that's showing them how, and I'll just ask questions.
Oh, gosh.
No?
Let's see. No,
okay.
let's try it.
We'll interact. We'll just interact.
Let's try it.
It's this kind of preparation that makes this podcast pop. So if we started with a drain audit.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, if you're going to do a replenishment audit, you have to start with the drain audit.
The drain audit.
So like, there'll be a different word on this each time. Now that I'm thinking about this, it's a terrible idea because it takes you a while to think. And you think more
I can tell
deeply.
You what drains me.
Ah!
I'm just kidding.
No, ma'am.
I'm kidding.
So what consistently drains you emotionally?
Mm.
And if you're watching, you can play along at home or listening.
Yeah,
play
that's
along at
good.
Home. Like what
drains
like emotionally?
Me?
What kind of...
Oh, I know.
Talk to
when
us.
I have to be in a room with people I don't know and it's loud and it's at a circle table and I'm sitting beside someone that just does not know how to have a good conversation.
And by good, you mean a deep conversation? Like you want to go below the line.
Below the line or have fun or let's, you know, what's hard for me is if it's like, yeah, no, I don't know.
You want that. Interaction.
I want an interaction. Mm-hmm. Or just like a room that I don't feel like I ever get to connect with anyone, or I just, everything's super surface.
Yeah.
And it's loud.
Yeah.
And loud rooms drive me nuts.
Okay. Anything else you can think of that drains you emotionally?
Drains me emotionally. I don't know. Can you think of it? I mean...
I think if...
You probably know better about me.
This kind of feels like a trap. I wasn't asking this question to... I think there are times where traffic in particular...
Oh,
and
yes.
If you have to navigate... Oh, my gosh. If you have to navigate busy traffic...
Yeah, traffic...
There's just a whole different version
of like,
you.
It is a thing I'm asking. Lord, just purify my heart. Traffic.
Again this year, 2026 resolution.
And we
again.
Live in Dallas-Fort Worth, and it's terrible.
It's not as terrible. Like, people
I know
are going to be what?
I know. I don't care. I came from a mid-sized town in East Texas.
It's true.
And we didn't have traffic.
Yeah.
So I will take the long way around just to not
often.
Be in traffic.
Yeah, frequently.
Take me 20 minutes longer. I want peace of mind, heart.
Yeah.
So,
and for people to drive.
Just drive.
Like the way you want them to.
Just drive, get out of my way, mm-hmm. Let me go where I want to go and get there in the time I want to get there.
That's right.
Is that unreasonable?
Not if you ask me.
Yeah, so definitely traffic drains me.
So those two. I know that rooms with a lot of people you don't know, especially if you can't go anywhere with those conversations and it gets loud, that'll get you. But I also think traffic can really pull from you.
I will be going from worshiping to what
King
are you
kings
doing?
And Lord of Lords.
So anyway.
And then a new one that we can add to the list. I think having a nasty, like kind of gnarly crick
in
your
neck. I'm really
just exhausted. Noticed the last couple of days a little, you've admitted it. You've even said.
That's true.
Do you know when you just get a little snippy when you've got a crick
when
in your neck?
Really bad sore.
When you're in pain. Yeah. No, I'm.
What about you? What drains you, honey? Let's
nothing,
talk about you.
Nothing drains me. No, I think that emotionally, I think a lot of times the like I feel thin today going over what's going on with the friend of ours' daughter.
Yeah.
I think tragedy can really empty me quick.
Yeah.
Heartbreak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think busyness, like if I feel not that life is full, but that life is busy, like my life's living me.
Yeah.
There's a significant emotional cost to that for me.
Yeah.
And I get agitated. I get agitated easy. It's a dangerous place for me to be. Huh? What? You don't know. You haven't seen that? Maybe the Lord's sanctifying in me ways I can't see. I just know you're being, I know you're being snarky. So those would be some that I would list.
Yeah.
If I feel like my life's living me, that'll drain me emotionally. I think everybody's probably got the heartbreak one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tragedy, heartbreak, and then the nature of what I do, it's like it's always there with somebody. Now, the one we're in right now, that's super close. That's friends of ours, which is especially hard.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think I'd love to talk a little bit about this time last year. So we're recording this in January of 26, and this time last year, I just got out of the hospital after being sick and in the hospital for 8 days.
8 days?
Yeah, you keep saying 10.
I thought it was 11.
8 days.
This is our whole relationship. You're watching it right now.
I heard him.
Six months in the hospital. She's like, it was eight
in
days.
In the sermon this weekend, I just forgot to tell you.
Correct.
8 days. And then you were in for 5 or 6 days. Like
it was five.
A couple of weeks later.
It was five.
But just thinking about being drained and those, you know, It hit us in, I think, different ways, and it revealed some things in both of us of just, I don't know, as we're talking about feeling drained, I thought it could be interesting to talk about that season, too, for us. Do you know what I'm saying?
When you say us, are you wanting me to talk about, like, what I shared with you about that season, or what do you...
And if you wanted to...
Yeah, no, I don't mind that. I think I've been very public with the big lie, that kind of always around in here trying to knock me off kilter.
Yeah.
It is the lie that I am useful, but not necessarily lovable. Yeah. One of the things that can really set that off is being sick.
Yeah.
Because when I'm sick, I'm reminded that I'm human. When I'm sick, the best parts of me, my energy, my sense of humor, my vibrancy, those are gone. And so I can't contribute. I can't work. I can't. And that can really create, if I'm not careful, a spiral.
Yeah.
And that's certainly what happened last January. In fact, it was so disorienting of a spiral that it was the first time really in my life that I had no motivation to come back.
Yeah.
Like people were like, man, I bet you're really chomping at the bit. And I was actually, I needed to hop on the phone with my counselor because I was like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not at all. And then I remember, I knew the Lord was doing something. There was some deep work happening when I was watching Major League. Like, I just wanted to watch, like, old, dumb, you know, that kind of movie. So I'm watching Major League, and it's near the end, and they play the song Wild Thing, and Charlie Sheen, you know, runs out onto the pitch, and I started sobbing. Like, not like, tearing up. Like, I started, like, wailing, like, the gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to call somebody. Something's not, I am not right.
Yeah.
And that was certainly I was super drained there emotionally.
I think part of the reason I want to ask that, because you were super drained then, I was drained.
Yeah.
And I think probably people listening, there was even a friend that I talked to just the other day who had the flu and it just took her out.
Yeah.
And like, so there might be people listening that you're drained. You're like, yeah, because I've been sick or...
Yeah.
For a longer amount of time than they're thinking. And so you're like, that's what emotionally drains me. And I think what I want to remind people about those seasons and what I felt like the Lord showed you and showed me was there, like, if you know Christ, you're safe in his hands.
Yeah.
in those moments. Absolutely. When there is absolutely nothing you can do but lay there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I was in the hospital. For I was sure. like, all I can do, you know, and I'd heard, you know, a sweet J.P. Pakluta's like sharing the gospel with the nurses and stuff.
So
I was like, can I get more morphine? You know, I was just done. I
JP,
felt terrible.
Like, and then
JP.
Revival broke loose
and then,
in the hospital and
meanwhile,
planted a church on the third floor.
But I just, as we're talking about being emotionally drained,
yeah.
that we were emotionally drained.
There's no question.
And the beautiful thing is, even if you're in Christ, if you know him, if he is your rock, your foundation, then there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
To make him love you less or more. You say that all the time. And sometimes those completely drained moments are an opportunity to know, do I really believe that?
Yeah.
Or do I say I believe it, but I'm going to, you know, make sure I can contribute or do my part in this.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I think
sharing,
that's good.
So
if you're doing a drain audit, you would ask the question, what drains me emotionally? But then the next one's like, what drains me physically?
Oh, I didn't know.
And that would be, to me, I'll tell you, you know that I hate being sick.
I know.
I hate it. It hadn't made me a germaphobe per se.
No.
But man, anytime I get sick, I am frustrated at the world.
Yeah.
And it's nobody's fault. I just don't like being reminded that I'm human.
No.
Oh, you're giggling it up over there, huh? All right. Miss Perfect.
I don't like when you're sick either.
Okay. It's not been a joy for me around here this week.
Ow. Okay.
Hey friends, quick pause to share about a ministry we deeply believe in, Global Christian Relief. Across more than 30 countries, places like Nigeria, Iran, India, and North Korea, our Christian family is facing real persecution for following Jesus. Global Christian Relief exists to close the distance between us and them. They invite us into real stories like names, faces, faith, so no Christian is isolated or forgotten. Through prayer and generosity, GCR provides emergency relief like food, shelter, and medicine. They rebuild churches and homes. They even offer trauma counseling and get scripture into the hands of believers who are hungry for God's word. When you join Global Christian Relief, you're not just giving to a cause, you're standing with family. And as you step into their stories, their courageous faith will strengthen yours. Okay. And then you would go, what drains me spiritually?
Okay.
And so do you have things that drain you spiritually?
Oh, man. You answer first and then I'll see if can think.
Yeah. I think where I perceive distance from the Lord or that I'm trying to operate on my own strength.
Okay.
Like there are times, and you know that there are times that I need to get to the river.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
I have got to get in my, what we're getting to, the replenishment cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel I'm thin. And what I mean by that, if we're talking spiritually, I'm not hearing the Lord like I've grown accustomed to hearing him.
Mm.
It's probably me. It's certainly not him, but I can't find it. And I don't mean the voice of God. I mean, I can't find what's in the way. I need to go be alone with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can drain me spiritually. I think in all honesty, I can get weary in disciple making.
Mm.
If I'm being really honest, there's sometimes people and carrying the weight. Like with one of my good friends this morning, we were having this conversation about the little couple weeks off in parentheses we got.
Yeah.
And he was just real vulnerably saying, do you ever just kind of wish you weren't a pastor and a protector?
Mm, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, say more though. And he was just like, the whole break, his phone was just blowing up and it was good ministry and it was good stuff. And then even the family dynamic with both his family and his wife's family required him to be the protector.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I was just always on, The phone was always there. And I got to just encourage him with like, hey, you can turn off your phone for a day.
Yeah.
You just can't. There's no crisis that is going to burn down the Western Hemisphere in a 24-hour period.
Yep.
So I got to love on him a little bit. But there is this thing we've been called to in disciple making.
Yeah.
It's challenging and can be exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
You could be rolling out of something really heavy into something really heavy that wasn't on the calendar, that wasn't. And so if I get into a good run of that stuff, I can feel spiritually drained.
I don't know if this is right or what, but sometimes I can feel spiritually drained being in really good spiritual high spaces. Do you know what I'm saying? Where I'm like, it just reminds me that this isn't it.
Yeah.
This isn't it. Like, I'm going to get a resurrected body that can contain and maintain those spiritual highs. Do you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So I think there are times where, man, we had New Year's Eve prayer and worship. Like, I didn't go stay the whole time. Matt did.
You know, I wasn't going to out you. You're fine.
10 to 1. He was there 10 to 6 a.m. I was like,
beginning to end.
That's fine. You know, into passion, into encounter, into like amazing things.
Yeah.
But I can long for, okay, that was great, but I just want to sit at my kitchen counter, you know, at our island and just the Lord in me. Yeah. So sometimes spiritually vibrant times can drain me because it's like, man, I will inherit a body that will not grow tired, you know, of even the spiritual highs that can do it.
Yeah. You're reminding me, I'm listening to a book right now and it's called Living Life Backwards.
Mm.
It's on Ecclesiastes.
Oh, yeah.
And he's talking about longing and that there are longings that you're going to get partially fulfilled. And then there are longings that you won't ever get fulfilled this side of glory.
Yeah.
But our hope is that when Christ comes, all longings are fulfilled. So longings, in a way, have this way of pulling us forward towards future hope.
Mm-hmm.
So that what he was arguing happens is that this is how you're pulled into the future, but you stay present.
Mm-hmm.
That all I have is today.
Yeah.
Some longings will be met, some won't. I don't have any control over that.
Yeah.
And so I want to live in the present. I don't want to live in tomorrow. Can't live in the past. I want to be in the present because life is gift, not grind.
Yeah.
And I love that. But what you were saying was reminding me that that idea of longing pulling you forward.
Yeah.
Longing to just be at the table. Mm-hmm. So, and then last would be the question of what drains me relationally. And so you would answer that question. What we're doing when you do this is you're just deciding that I'm not going to treat exhaustion like a mystery.
Mm.
I'm going to treat it like a pattern.
Yeah.
Like there's a pattern that I'm living by that's creating this exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to pretend that I feel out of gas and weary like it's some sort of wild mystery that I can't figure out. It's me and how I'm choosing to live. And in some ways, those choices might be the best choices I can make in a given season or at a given time.
Yeah.
And so that's that's how you start the replenishment cycle is, okay, where's the bowl cracked? Where am I losing water to begin with? And now that I know what I'm losing, then I've got to figure out what replenishes me. Okay, what puts water back in.
Yeah.
So you're not talking escape. Like you're not talking escape. I think the desire for escape can reveal to me that I am tired.
Yeah.
But they don't solve it.
Yeah. It's kind of like a red caution.
Like a check engine light.
Check engine light.
So like if I want to just sit and watch mindless action movies, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just a check engine light for me.
Yeah. Oh, what's my check engine light? I told you this the other day.
Puzzles.
If I only want to do puzzles, jigsaw puzzles all the time.
Yeah.
And they're not bad to do every now and then. I enjoy them.
And it's not always while you're doing them, which is...
Exactly.
Continues on with the complexity of the female soul.
Well, it's not always when you watch action mostly, movies.
Mostly. If I go on a bender of action movies, that, yeah. You can't really, can you go on a bender of puzzles?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you for not doing that too often. So then now what you're looking for is not, how do I restore my mood, but how do I restore my capacity? Mm. Like what can I do? This is how it was explained to me, where I have more desire, more clarity for love, obedience, and work.
That's good. I like that because I think a lot of times, especially right now, there's an emphasis on rest and, you know, Sabbathing and all those things. But sometimes I'm like,
Do something.
Stewarding the gifts God's given you?
Yeah.
Yes, rest is important. Build that into your life. And I'm sure the replenishment cycle will get to this. But also work was not part of the fall.
Nope.
It was given to us before the fall happened.
That's right.
And it's fulfilling and it's meaningful and it's God has purpose for it. So anyway, just wanted to add that.
Yeah. And even if you're watching this or listening to this and you're like, yeah, my job's done. Well, great. The Bible says that you work
unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord.
Yeah.
You're not working for men. You're working unto the Lord.
That's right.
This was the conversation we had with our son when he had his first kind of job and man was grinding. There were all these things that weren't fair. In fact, they almost seemed to be encouraging him to be lazy.
Yeah.
To quote him, there was no real reason for him to work as hard mm-hmm. as he was working.
And he worked really hard.
It wasn't honored, wasn't blessed, didn't increase his pay. And people who worked way less were getting more.
Because they'd been there more.
Yeah, because they'd been there longer. Yeah. And so this was the conversation we have. Hey, look, great, but you're not working for them.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, buddy. You're working unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And so if you're talking Lauren Chandler's replenishment cycle, what do you do where it creates more desire and more clarity for love, obedience, and work?
Being out in nature.
Sure.
Some way, somehow. That's working in the yard. It's just sitting out. It's going on the trails that are right back here. It's going out to the river.
Yeah.
It's being outside and interacting with nature somehow. Another is like a really good like time with really close friends.
Yeah.
Where we're talking about what's really going on in our lives. And laughing.
Laughing's huge.
And I would say connecting with my parents, like that's
They're
important
so great.
To
yeah.
me to like connect with my family. And then probably going on a walk. So doing something physical, but going on a walk outside, that covers two of them.
Doesn't it?
So those are, and then, yeah, just slowing down and probably journaling is really replenishing for me. So,
that's yeah. Good. Yeah.
What about you?
If I start at the most basic level, sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Like
too.
I want to go to bed in a perfect world in the nines. That's what I want. And part of it is because the early mornings to me
can be
like on a daily replenishment cycle thing, profoundly powerful.
Yeah.
The evenings, not so much. I just feel once we get into the nines, I don't have much left to give. And so like sleep's huge.
Yeah.
Where I can get, you know, 8+ hours. I wish I was one of those guys. I used to think I had to be when I was a younger man who sleep 3 or 4 hours a night and they're just grinding for the kingdom. That is not, I am a terrible human being when I'm worn out, tired, a terrible human being. I can be mean, snappy, sullen, all those.
I'm saying nothing.
Your face just preached a 45-minute sermon. Okay. Your face just did some things.
So you need sleep.
Could be your neck.
Could be
my- Could be the neck. Might not be me at all. Could be your own personal pain. So sleep's a huge one for me. Unhurried time with God. Mm. Unhurried time with the Lord's a huge one for me. That's a daily kind of replenishment thing. We'll talk here in a minute about how you kind of break these things down. On my list is a movement that gives me energy. So I love jiu-jitsu. For whatever reason, jiu-jitsu makes me 12 years old again. And so if I can go fight, I'll feel boyish in the best way of that term, not the worst. Love that. Love a good weight session. I'm with you on laughter with our people, man. Mm-hmm. If we can be with our friends and just laugh till the face hurts or you feel like you're going to throw up, that's the best. And then I need silence and solitude, but in doses. I've learned over the last probably decade now, silence and solitude's an interesting animal to me.
Yeah.
I'll crave it. But then if I get too much of it, it doesn't produce the same thing. Mm. So it's on my replenishment cycle, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But man, I can't get too much silence and solitude, or the way I'm wired by God goes into distress.
Yeah.
Like I remember I took, you know, a sabbatical. I took a full 10 days out by myself in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And then after being by myself that nearly whole time.
You went and found friends.
I went to, what's it called? Mount Rushmore. Man, I was watching
and everybody's family pictures.
I mean, I was like, hey, you want me to take that picture? Where are y'all from? Oh my gosh, Oklahoma. I've been to Oklahoma. And I was like, calm down. I
mean, creeper, dude.
Creeper. I was like, what? Who's this guy in our family picture? I don't know. Remember? I think he was drunk or high or something. those are kind of my replenishment cycle. We share a lot of them, like being outside is high on both of ours. And so now we've got, okay, this drains me. This puts back into me.
Mm-hmm.
And now you build the cycle.
Yeah.
And you build the cycle on multiple levels, right? You build daily, weekly, and seasonal rhythms that are the replenishment cycle. So we're trying to get more in us than's coming out of us, which is why I've never really been able to make it work where it's like, this is the day I do that. Yeah. I'm doing that on Friday.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to replenish my soul on this day. I had to learn kind of how to weave them into kind of daily, weekly, and seasonal practices. So if you think about how you do that, take one of those daily, weekly, seasonal, and talk a little bit about how you've woven that into a very busy life.
Yeah. I mean, I would take, even today, like yesterday, I really wanted to go on a walk. Like, it's like my heart just needed to walk outside. So that was taking two of the ones, you know, being outside and walking. And I just couldn't get it. I was like, I had too many things to do. Yeah. Everything took longer than I had anticipated it. So at the end of the day, I was kind of pretty frustrated. And so today I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to plan it, go for a walk. And that's the thing is like yesterday it wasn't going to happen. I couldn't force it to happen, but today I had some time. And so I just was like, I'm going on this walk. It's not going to be as long as I'd like it to be, but at least I'm going. And I went with a friend. So that also,
who'd you go with? Who
Sarah.
Oh, Keen.
It was good. Yeah.
She's wonderful.
She's my business partner and a friend, neighbor. Yep. Anyway.
She's greatness.
So that was really replenishing for me. And it wasn't as long as I wanted, but it was enough. And so that's kind of the places where I will look ahead a little bit to say, okay, I really wanted it today. It didn't happen. Can I get it tomorrow? And I think if I hadn't had that walk, this would have been a little harder for me today, especially with my neck. But
is it the walk that threw off your neck? No, because it was before then.
It was before the neck.
You think it was the pillow at the hotel?
It was before the walk.
Pillow at the hotel?
I think it's the last month plus pillow at the hotel.
It has been full.
Yep.
But pillows at hotels at our age. There's something about fresh air and trees and being outside that's really replenishing for me. And yet, I think I spend 90% of my time indoors in front of a screen at my desk above my garage or up at the office at the Village Church. And so I was excited when Air Doctor, which is like this award-winning air purifier that really eliminates like 99.99% of all kind of allergens and viruses and smoke and mold and all that stuff that's in the air. They were actually voted best air purifier by Newsweek. 98% of Air Doctor customers agree that when they plug these things in, the home feels cleaner and healthier. And so Air Doctor Pro is sponsoring this episode of The Overcomers. And if you will go, you will get $300 off today. Comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee plus a 3-year warranty. I think that's like an $84, $85 value. And so you can go to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use the promo code Overcomers for $300 off any of their Air Doctor air purifiers. And so got one plugged in here. Love what it's done to my office. It has changed kind of the feel of things in my office. And so airdoctorpro.com, use the promo code Overcomers.
So is that a good example? Is that what you're looking for?
I think it's a great example. Okay. I think it's a great example. If I gave one that was seasonal, and I've talked about this one a bunch.
Yeah. It's good.
And you're involved in it because you help me make this happen, which is 3 times a year, once a quarter, I head out to our river cabin for 3 or 4 days, just me and Jesus. And so sometimes I go out there and just fast, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go out there and feast. It's kind of discerning that as it gets close. But that for me does more to slow down my mind and heart, to reconnect me with the Lord, to on the daily, it's, and we talk about this a lot, I need to get up early. I'm a better human being when I get up early.
You are. And make my coffee for me.
Well,
so
that
it's
happens.
Done when I wake up.
That's like nearly a daily deal, babe.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's when you're at your best.
Oh, okay. That's the standard.
Yes.
Andrea, did you like that? Was that you snickering over there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me turn over and look at you.
Don't do that to Lauren. She'll end up hospitalized again.
No.
So that would be a seasonal one for me. On the daily, like I said, I need to get up early. I'm a better human when I get early. Another thing that really helps me, and we mainly do it every once in a while, it slips, but I don't ever want cascading meetings. I don't want to run from one meeting to the next. I want, give me 15 minutes between these two. Give me a little bit of space to think about what I'm just walking out of and to reorient my heart for what I'm walking into. Yeah. That's a little replenishment cycle hack that I learned years ago. It wasn't mine. I read it in a book called Essentialism. And that was super helpful.
And Andrea does a good job of
Andrea does an
sure.
exceptional job.
Hold on, let me turn over towards her.
No, don't. I don't want you to throw out something else. So then, like, there are these micro daily replenishments, there are these weekly. I'm going to confess publicly, I stink at Sabbath. I stink at it.
I know.
I so want to be good at Sabbath. I've been trying for 10 years.
I know.
My Sabbaths are never good. I'm always having to tinker with it. And then it's not even Sabbath anymore because I'm tinkering with the Sabbath on the Sabbath.
I know.
So I've read all the books. I've tried it. Pleasure stacking and all. I've tried it. I'm just terrible. I can go away for 4 days and be alone with the Lord.
Yeah.
I can set aside a morning and be just quiet without a phone, go for a walk. I could do all that. But man, a weekly, take this whole day off and it just is not.
Yeah.
It's not law. I'm not being disobedient to the
Sabbath
Lord.
Sabbath was made for the man, not man for the Sabbath, correct?
Oh,
is that right?
Who said that?
I think it's Jesus.
Is that you?
I think it was Jesus.
Okay. All right, Batman. I do think you do have to talk about, on that note, a couple of things I needed to learn, probably because of personality type. The replenishment cycle isn't indulgence. That's not what I'm doing. I'm
good.
Not indulging.
That's good.
It's in a real way for me. It's obedience to the fulfillment of my calling.
Yeah.
If I'm not being replenished by the Lord, then I am operating out of my own strength.
Yeah.
And a surefire way to burn out, to do something stupid, to not hear from the Lord and do what I want is for me to be exhausted.
Yeah.
And so I have had to train myself, because it's not my personality type.
Right.
That the replenishment cycle for me, which is day, week, month, year, it's not indulgence. It's ultimately obedience.
Yeah.
And so I need to set up boundaries around that.
Yeah.
I need to make sure that I don't try to, because like here's some of my big temptations. I'm curious if how these, sometimes when I'm heading out to the river, like I'll have the thought, man, I could really knock this out while I'm out there.
I mean,
I could get this done. I could come back and all of that would be off my plate. And whether it, but then I have to remember, whoa. No. That's not what this is.
Yeah.
You might come back with that, but you'll fill in the gap with some other thing when you get running. So let's replenish. And so are there areas in your own life where you have to really be on guard for this part of your replenishment cycle?
I think as you were sharing, I'd have to think a little bit more on like personally where that can happen. What it reminded me of when you said it's not indulgence, but it's like preventing like getting burnout or just making, you know, it's, what did you say? It's not indulgence. It's,
well, it's obedience.
Obedience.
Ultimately, okay. Obedience.
I think your heart matters in it, because I just am imagining, you know, someone taking this and being like, well, it's my replenishment to cycle, so I need this. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then everybody else has to just deal with it.
Yeah.
And that's not what you do.
No.
It's not what the replenishment cycle is. It is a, and I think your example is a perfect example of that, where you're like, I could work, but no, I need to rest. So your heart is to work hard and serve, and the replenishment cycle is to be obedient, to rest so that you continue to work and serve. And so there's a difference between, oh, I got to get out to the river. I need this. I can't survive without it. You know, Lauren, you and the kids, you just deal with
good
it.
Good luck.
Good luck with it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I think people could do that with it.
No. So like here would be a good, if we could really flesh it out, the 3 or 4 days at the river when the kids were young was called on my calendar the day.
Yeah.
And I would get up early in the morning and I would drive to Oklahoma, about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes north to this state park in Oklahoma called Turner Falls. And I would bring my journal and my Bible, and it was a different day. There weren't smartphones back then. And I would just spend the day with the Lord and then be back home that night. So that was a season. Yeah. And by the way, I didn't know, I had no concept of replenishment cycle back then.
Right.
That was just me trying to get alone with the Lord and hear for all that was going on in that season of our lives. But we had 3 small kids.
Yeah.
The church was bananas. Mm-hmm. I mean, growing by 1,000 a year for the first decade, it was just wild.
Lots of services,
lots of... And that was not a season where, even if it is replenishing for my soul to go away for 3 or 4 days, there would have had to be some kind of something else set up for you and the kids, because it's not a win for me to be replenished and my staff to be dying or for me to be replenished and you not look like what the Bible calls a well-watered vine.
Right.
And so that's got to be in the rue as you're working through what drains me, what replenishes me, how does that work itself out daily, weekly, monthly, seasonally?
Yeah.
The people in your life have to be in view.
Yeah.
It just can't be a win that I feel amazing and you're done.
Right. Exactly.
Or that I'm doing incredible and my staff is dying on the vine.
Right.
It just can't happen that way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? Do you want to encourage people who are watching right now? Do you want me to do that? Do you want to keep talking? Do you have more questions?
No. I think to go back to your initial question about how I...
Yeah.
What was the question?
Where do you have to guard things?
I think what I can do is I'm a victim of inertia, if that makes sense. So like if I get, if I'm going a certain way, I just will stay in it. I need something to act on and an outside force to act on me to change my direction. So I can just be stuck in a sense. And so sometimes I will just—
Like your neck right now.
Yeah. So I can just keep doing the same old things and not be like, you know what I need is I need to go on a walk. I need to, instead I'll be like, but I got to go, you know, there's all these things I could be doing instead. And the Lord to just say, go on that walk, you know, you, that, that will be there when you get back.
Yeah.
So I think that's, I can just get, that inertia. I would call it kind of laziness in a like less flattering terms where I'm just like, you know, I might as well just keep doing what I've been doing.
Yeah.
So that's where I have to guard against like, okay, it's worth it for me to go on this walk.
Yeah.
I will be glad that I went on this walk. I will be glad that I went out to the river cabin.
Yeah.
Cause I can feel guilty that I'll think I am like leaving you guys all in a lurch while I go, you know, live it up on the river, which that's not what's happening.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
And that's so the, that's why I use that word indulgence, because I think for most people, a replenishment cycle feels like indulgence.
It does feel like indulgence. And,
but it, in the, if you zoom out, it's not indulgence at all.
Right.
You're talking about filling your cup, that cup that will be poured out on the very people that you think, oh man, if I do this, they're going to be robbed.
Yep.
Now, if you're married, these are conversations we're having.
Yes.
Like I'm not coming to you and going, hey, I'm going out to the river for 4 days. So good luck.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, hey, what do you think about?
And that's something I think I would want to encourage couples to encourage one another to do that. But to be mutual, you know, like mutually encouraging to, hey, babe, I see like this is important to you.
Yeah.
I see who you come back from, you know, the river as you have more of yourself to give to us.
Yeah.
And so I do help you protect that. And we're in a season in life where you can go out and it's not like I'm dying when you get back. Now, when the kids were little and I was doing part-time homeschool, that was tough. But you didn't do that then. No. You did the day.
That's right.
And then likewise, you are so supportive of hey, go get that walk. Or, hey, you need to go out to the river cabin. You need to get that time. And making me feel loved and supported when I do that.
Come on. Well, thank you, babe.
You're welcome.
So the funny thing is, the first time we ever did this, we were together. It was Life Plan.
Yeah. Yep.
And so this is actually, if you are married, this is a great, like, I don't know if you want to make it a date night. I don't know if you want to, but like find some time to sit down together and just do this. What drains us? What replenishes us? How can we build these rhythms into our marriage? What do you need as an individual? What do we need as a couple? What do we need? Because we can feel there are replenishment cycles for us, like times we need to go play. We need to, and sometimes what's funny is sometimes that's, we need to go hang out with some friends.
Yeah.
It's not always like, oh, and the replenishment is just you and me. It's part of how we need to replenish our souls with each other as one flesh. Is to maybe go play pickleball with some friends or maybe go have dinner with some friends or go do something else like that. So I just think, honestly, this would be a great way to just get below the line with your spouse to sit down and just go, hey, what have you seen in me that you think puts wind in my sails? What, when I come back from it, do I just feel more alive to you? Because it might be hard for you to figure out how you do replenish. It took me, I had to go on a whole journey to figure out how I replenished. I had no idea. I thought I knew how I rested, but replenishment's a different game. And so I think that would be a great—
It's a great date night exercise.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Or even, doesn't even have to be like a date night after kids go to bed.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's right. Anything else you want to say, babe? Are you good?
I'm good. I'm just going to take some Advil here in a bit and I'm going to start feeling better.
Let's hope. Let's hope. Hey, thanks for hopping on yet again to check out Between Sundays with the Chandlers.
Yeah.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Overcomers. I just pray your heart is always encouraged in the Lord. Really, the ministry I feel God's called me to in this season is to be one that's encouraging you, telling you the Lord sees you, reminding you of the opportunities that we have as the people of God in this day. And so The Overcomers podcast is one of the ways I do that. Another way is that I'm sending out a monthly newsletter. And in that, I've got a little audio link for kind of things I'm thinking about and wrestling through that I'm not necessarily preaching on. And so in the show notes is a link where you can go and sign up for that monthly email. And so, man, if The Overcomers is encouraging you, I would encourage you then to click on that link, sign up for the newsletter. And it's a way for me to further encourage you as you seek to live as overcomers in this current moment.